Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Rivals 3 Wrap Up Podcast for episode 12. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Escher. Allie, how are you?
I am doing fantastic. Fun Employment is treating me very well, but I am definitely excited to be back on the show with you after a long time.
I know. I feel like the last time we talked Challenge, there was like the entire cast still left, and now we're down to the Final Four. So here we go.
I can't believe there's like 2 weeks left. And that's it.
It reached the midpoint out of nowhere, and now like the finale is like in 2 weeks. So, weird season continues.
Before we jump into it, by my standards, if two people say the same thing, it's a lot of people like thinking that my absence last week meant like I was quitting the show. So I was in LA just on vacation, catching Pokemon with Johnny Langan. And I had a god-awful experience on Max Dawson's podcast. So I guess I got the full Survivor ATF experience for anyone who listens to their show. Max may never air it out of guilt. So look out for that or don't. I won't be listening to it. On a positive note, I got to go to Sir and Pump from Vanderpump Rules. Shout out to Plainview Sue, who I know is not listening right now.
She was so excited. She wanted to know if you met anyone there.
So you can tell her that Max, who's Lisa's son, who is a busboy on the show, got promoted because he was a waiter in the section right across from us.
Wow. Big news.
Real life, being a waiter. And then Jax walked in. Then I went all around the restaurant looking for him. I couldn't find him, but we did see him walk in. I did go to the back alley, like snuck to the back where all the real drama happens on the show. The food was very good. We had an amazing time. Thank you so much to Dane who filled in. I thought it was a great show. Last year when Dane filled in, or was it 2 years ago now? I was in like a darker place. I couldn't listen, but I really, really enjoyed Dane. I thought he was great. So please come back anytime.
We had a good time. I did not appreciate the review that pointed out the attractiveness of Johnny Langan. I don't appreciate that because I don't see any reviews commenting on the attractiveness of me. So I don't like
that. Be careful what you wish for, Brian. Johnny's LA, man. He's an actor. Okay. I don't just like roll with schlubs.
But I did forget the 5-star reviews last week. And actually, the second we stopped podcasting, Dane called me out on it. He's like, why don't we just hop back on? I'm like, I'll just let Allie do double dose next week.
Please, Dane, come back anytime. I love Dane. There were so many things I was saying and he was saying, and I was like, yes, yes. Thankfully, Dane's here to say that.
It was nice having another pro banana guy, though. That was fun.
Yeah, but that killed me. Okay, so last week when you were like, finally, we have a pro bananas person. Said by the guy who's been trying to distance himself from his bananas love on and off for the past 2 seasons.
I pick my spots when I love him.
Yeah, but that's fine. I like him at certain spots, too. I'm actually going to say some positive things about him this week. One thing I do have to say. Well, first, I'll thank the 5-star reviewers. Your 5-star reviews were not unnoticed, even by me last week, even though they were by Brian. HHH Showstopper. Ali Alice V and at Sir One David, who is the one who said that Johnny was hot. So particular thanks to you. If you want to leave a 5-star review about Brian's appearance or anything else, you can go to robhiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. And Brian, I have to say something that I don't want to say.
Oh boy.
Okay. Do you have a guess as to what it is?
I was right. About Zach.
Well, no, that's not what it is. That's not what I'm opening with. But we actually have to... I have those notes somewhere. I forget what the
I don't even remember those stipulations of our bet. Yeah, I don't remember even what I said.
Okay, before we get to that, I have to borrow from Johnny Langan, who just messaged me this right before the show, which was the perfect thing to use. You can't fit a Vince Peg into a Mitchell. 2 weeks of silent but hysterical Vince... I went out on a limb with Mitch. Mitch had really nothing to offer when we established him as the breakout star. And so I took a similar gamble on Vince and I got burned. My bad.
Make Vince silent again.
Yeah. I will say it does fit in the definition of like, if you just try to love everything you hate about someone, but this is, I mean, I don't even think a mother could love this Vince.
Even his old cousin didn't even start to like him. So, yeah, no, this was a rough one for Vince. all around.
So, you know, it's a public apology. I'm eating crow, as they say.
Is there any more appropriate nickname for someone on a show than Creepy Vince? Like, it just nails him to a T. Like, creepy's thrown around a lot, and it's, like, sometimes overused, but Vince is so creepy. It's just perfect.
And when they stick, like, when Jenna calls him, like, the creepy uncle, it's, yeah. like, even, it's, I don't have any creepy uncles, but, like, I know the trope.
Because, yeah, like, the way he, at the end of it, when he, like, lifted his shirt up and started to eat it, like, that is so creepy, Uncle Vince.
Oh, my God, yeah. So, all right, let's backtrack a bit now to what you were getting at, which would have been a more appropriate segue to the beginning of the show.
But if it was more appropriate, it would be us.
We'll definitely talk about you being right. I'm pretty much tossing the whole draft because basically nothing has happened this season that we made points about. But moving forward, we need to just start each season with 50 points and just be betting every week.
Yeah, betting is a lot more fun than keeping fantasy points. I totally agree.
I think we've like unlocked a whole new thing here.
Yeah.
All right.
I was trying to remember the stipulation of our bet. I knew it had something to do with Zach breaking up with her. But I thought I might have said Zach comes on the show. I think that's what I said.
I wasn't sure. And we rarely reach out to the listeners to do stuff for us. Usually I feel like it's like help us or we're doing it or whatever. If anyone can help us with this, it would be great. If you remember better than us.
What was your side of the bet? Because that way we could figure out.
Mine was over. It was like, would Bananas and Vince go into eliminate? Like something happened. I bet that next week. Or no, they would get kicked out. It was they'd get kicked out for Vince.
Okay, so it was the week when.
We did bet on whether or not there would be a Johnny Bananas thing too.
Yeah, yeah. And that doesn't seem.
When we get more serious, we'll keep track of it. Yeah.
No, we'll definitely do that for next season. Betting is more fun than fantasy points.
I do think that it was one of three things. It was either Jenna's crying because Zach broke up with her or cheated. Like something like that. I think there was a revelation involved, whether it's Zach shows up, Zach breaks up with her, or Zach's cheating. I don't think it was just she's crying because of Zach. But it could be. Right.
We'll work on the answer for next week.
Yeah, I'm ready to give you full credit and full points here, but I can't confirm. Sure.
Oh, wow. I really screwed up the intro. I should have called you Brooke. God damn it. I just realized I had a better intro. Damn.
All right, let's scrap all of this.
Oh, man, that would have been a good intro. Yeah, but that's what Zach does. Calls you out of Brooke.
Now, can we confirm, is that Zach's new girlfriend or the girl he was cheating on? Is it Brooke?
I don't know.
Do you think that was intentional or that was like he actually thought it was Brooke?
I thought it was like him messing with her, that he knew it was her, but was still calling her, just called her Brooke to piss her off. That's what it seemed like.
Yeah, I totally agree. I thought that was not. But then later she's like, you call me a girl's name by accident.
Right. And wouldn't he know the number like on the phone? So like, I mean, it's 2016. There's caller ID. Like he'll know if Brooke's actually calling.
I gotta imagine it's private or it's like blocked from the Mexico Challenge House.
But yet another call that we get to hear the other side of, once again reconfirming that Jess did not have a boyfriend going into the season.
Yeah, you guys said that last week, which is hilarious, but I just want to believe, and I know I'm like killing the buzz on this, like the fun part of this, but he just clearly didn't sign the release. Like I don't think that he doesn't exist.
He should show up at the reunion.
I should.
He should.
Do you think Jess is even going to be at the reunion?
Oh God, no. I totally forgot that Johnny Raleigh was even on this season.
Was he at the reunion? Do you know who was there? I mean, I saw like the girls from pictures.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Camilla was there. So at least it goes back that far. I don't remember who else.
Well, and it also could be if you just had dropped, like Camilla is like one of the only people worth talking to from the season.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's definitely not easy. It's not a boot order thing because I remember one time they had someone eliminated like third who was there. So I don't know. We'll find out.
All right. So this was like a very, very sad montage. Would you have preferred that they like showed us like week by week, Jenna, like week one, we actually see Jenna trying to get in touch with Zach and then that builds over a couple weeks? Or did you not mind that this was like all in the first 5 minutes?
I mean, I kind of wish they showed it throughout because at least it would have explained why Jenna was so MIA like the whole season. Like we noticed it like, oh, well, there's no like fun loving Jenna confessionals. And maybe this was why she was just so caught up in this. It was kind of weird just to start going back to like, here's week one. And like, we're at the final five. Like, why are you showing us stuff from week one?
Yeah, I feel like maybe that's a difference in the editing, you know, the power shift from this season, because I feel like we're not getting full story arcs. We're just getting like, in one episode, we're going to resolve everything. So like, here's the start of the Jenna issue, and like, here's her with the big fight. Right. And that happened with something else where like, oh, the Cheyenne Chantel thing we'll get to. Like, we just get a clip of Bananas explaining that this had been a long running ongoing thing.
Yeah. It's almost, yeah, it's like, they're acting as if they're editing and showing the show live, and they didn't know like either of these things were going to become a thing. And they're like, oh, we have to just catch up and show it. But like, they had the whole season filmed. They could have planned it out if they wanted to. They just chose not to.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, this, I definitely felt bad for Jenna. I feel like she's not doing anything wrong. Yeah. This is like Zach's pattern to just like totally ghost on someone who thinks everything's okay.
Yeah, I mean, Jenna's like seems like the sweetest person ever. So yeah, this sucks. Hate to see her cry.
I loved how he like pulls the old like, oh, it got lost in the email bit. Like,
right,
things do not. Sorry, college professors and girlfriends awaiting responses. Things do not get lost in the email.
The dog ate the email.
Yeah. All right. We have a question. Oh, Andrew Kirk says, when will the challenge females learn the majority of the guys cast on the show are not boyfriend marriage material?
Probably. I mean, never. But it's not on them. Like, it's on the guys for being assholes. Like, and also when you're stuck in the house, I can totally understand trying to shack up with someone. So
you tell them.
Yeah.
And I don't even know that that's true.
I mean, there's been some relationships to come out of the show, and sometimes the girls are assholes too. So,
or just even the guys, like Derek got married, Brad's married. Mm-hmm. Well, Danny and Melinda are not a good,
right. But they got married.
Yeah, they were marriage material for a brief time.
They were.
But I did like Sarah here. This was like a return to the Sarah I love for a brief period, because then you best believe she goes back to the Sarah I don't love this season. Comforting Jenna here and just like saying everything that the girls of America and you, some of the guys of America, were screaming at their television, like, you are not doing anything wrong, Jenna. Like, this is totally on him. You didn't ruin your relationship because you came on a show that he's been on many, many times.
Yeah, this is perfect Counselor Sarah right here. Sometimes she's the one cheering on and creating games. Sometimes she's consoling the heartbroken summer love. So this is Counselor Sarah.
And then one of the biggest scenes, or one of the biggest talking points of this episode, was the Jordan skull draw conversation between Devin and Cheyenne.
Right. Devin tells Cheyenne, I'm going to pull all the skulls out. And Cheyenne, at first, she says she's in on it. She's fine with it. Because she's not here just to skate by. She wants to compete.
But even better than that, this, I was like so jazzed when I heard this. When Devin is basically like, if Dario and Nicole lose, then we'll go in against them. And Cheyenne's like, I'll do this on one condition. If any team loses, we'll do it. And I was like, yes, girl, yes. I didn't want them to do it. I was ultimately also cheering her on when she said, no, that's the stupidest thing. But in concept, the fact that she said it was so badass.
It was, especially considering that they would probably lose. So it'd be like, okay, at least they're gonna like go out in style, but like they know they're just like, hey, let's go jump off this billy that's really high up and let's see if we land. Okay.
How funny though would it be if like the first skull they pulled was black? So they don't even get the joy. Right, like she goes up and just like, oh, black skull, damn it.
I even think about it in practice, wouldn't even be as dramatic, I feel like, as the cards. The way Jordan did it, where he was able to just like walk across the table and just flip them all up, like that is so much cooler than if you just like, oh, I'm going to pull out the skulls and just like find the black one. Like that, even if they did it, it wouldn't have looked as awesome as the way Jordan did it.
The only thing you could do is like pick up the canister and jump them.
Dump it over.
Like you can't, or just like kick it over. Like you just can't like pull them out one at a time.
Right.
And hope the black one goes last.
When we were discussing who could be the Jordan of the season, was Devin an option? I feel like we talked about Dario as one. Do we think that Devin could have been the guy?
Did we talk about this in the preview?
I know I talked about it at some point this season. I have no idea when.
If we talked about it in the preview, I go back and listen to it. So okay. I'll let you know.
Okay.
I feel like Devin had to be one. And if not, that was our bad, because that seemed like an obvious pick. I mean, he is, and Cheyenne later says it, like he's looking for the good TV move. And in a lot of cases, like, as you said, they're going to probably lose. I think their best bet, as we discussed before, is just to like flame out so royally that you get invited back.
Yeah. It could have worked.
Do you feel though it's like it's not as good anymore because Jordan did it so amazingly. And with Jordan, you like, it really was his ego. It wasn't like camera time. Like with Devin, I still think it's good that Devin's on, but it doesn't feel as like motivated by teaching Dario a lesson. Like, I don't know that I buy it from him.
Right. I mean, the first time is always going to be the bigger moment, especially because Jordan also did it to try to take out Bananas. This would be like trying to take out Dario and Nicole. So it's like the implications are not as dramatic. And also, I mean, Jordan, like, he could have easily went to the final and won that season if he didn't do that. So again, that even had more implications of it. So the second round could be bigger, but it would need to have higher stake participants than Devin and Cheyenne and Dario and Nicole.
Yeah, it does. You're right. It does take away that they're aiming at such low hanging fruit. Except for that's maybe why I got amped up when Cheyenne was like, we'll do it for anyone. Like, right. I'm picturing like somehow Bananas loses and then he dumps a canister. But with Devin, I also just feel like I actually think he's a really smart guy. And not that I don't think Jordan is smart, but we've seen Jordan make a number of dumb moves. And I just feel like Devin's too smart to like actually do that. So I just like kind of felt like it was like totally calculated.
Yeah, but Jordan definitely has a bigger like athletic ego than Devin does.
Anything before the challenge?
Nope. Let's bridge the gap.
I have a question before you even explain the challenge, because I want to break this down, because this is starting to grind my gears, as they say, as those cartoons say. I want to like, if there's not an order to be picked, I want that advantage to be out the window. Why are we now allowing in multiple challenges the winner of the jungle to now just handicap a team?
Can I put on my tinfoil hat and give a conspiracy theory?
I would love that.
Maybe they think Bananas and Sarah are so dominant, they need to try to like tilt the scales to other people. Be like, all right, we got to give these people a chance to win. And we're going to put them behind.
I just can't believe that when they were making these teams, because I was thinking about this a lot today when I watched a show today, that they didn't know that Sarah and Bananas were going to be so dominant. Like, I was thinking, like, are Leroy and Avery really a competitor? Like, Corey and Ashley, okay. But, like, I just don't feel like there were any teams from the start that, like, really rivaled them. Maybe Wes is, like, such a tremendous disappointment. But they had to know from the beginning that they like set this up for Bananas and Sarah to be there the whole time.
But it's just weird that they like changed the advantage like halfway through. Like it was in an order. And now at the end, they're being like, all right, you're just causing people to start later.
Well, I think it's only when there's no order to be picked that they're doing that.
I guess
like it's
true.
Not like there was an order and they were like, yeah, and the first people who go are going to have a 30-second penalty.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's true.
But I just wish they threw it out, because it's like, I don't think, although you could say that going first is a bigger disadvantage than starting 30 seconds later potentially, but I just kind of think the order is the order, and stop doling out these 30-second one-step-behind penalties.
Give people $1,000 for winning elimination. Why was that a one-time thing?
So weird. So weird.
Like when they just had like, all right, we have $2,000 in our prize budget. We'll pick a random challenge and the winner gets it. Like, what the hell?
They should have just given $100 a challenge.
That three-way like couple excursion will go down as like the most random challenge thing that ever happened.
Which one?
When Devin
happened twice.
Well, no, did it happen twice?
Time there was no challenge. There was no elimination, but they got to go drink margaritas like Amanda Nelson.
What was the other time?
When they went on the boat, the $1,000 winners also got it.
Sorry, so those two times, like, that's the most random things ever. I totally forgot about the boat one. I was just thinking about the Amanda Nelson one.
I agree, though, that was weirder because there was no elimination. Like, it was like in place of the jungle. Right.
And they just did it to screw with Wes's mind. They have him like think about, oh my god, they're all eliminated. Those are the final three. The season's over.
All right, so go back to the challenge. Sorry, I just that really bothered me the second time around. Didn't bother me as much the first time around with the penalties. Second time I was like, I'm not on board for this.
So this challenge was called Bridging the Gap, and you had each pair was tied together in a giant sweatshirt, and they had to complete a series of tasks to collect puzzle pieces to create a bridge and then walk across it.
What do your sweatshirts look like? Is it that?
Was it a giant sweatshirt? Isn't that basically what it was? Or a giant condom, as Cheyenne would phrase it?
What do they call it again? It's like the... TJ used it. It's like an Ellen thing. It's like the... It's like the get along shirt. Is that what it is? Is that what he called it?
I did not hear him say that.
It's like
that.
They put kids in it. Whatever he called it was like the get along shirt or the like no fight. It was something like for kids.
It's definitely like, not a sweatshirt, by the way. I'm just like, it's a giant short sleeve shirt. I don't know why I thought it's a sweatshirt. So
anyway, what did you think of this challenge overall?
It was interesting. I've been in on the challenge this year just because a lot of them have been sort of different. Like, I know they've incorporated some hype and stuff, but at least they've done different things with them. And this was unusual. Like, I don't think they've done anything like this really before, so I was in on it.
I liked the challenge too. I liked that they were on land. We've gotten some comments about like the height challenges are like getting old and just like ruining the show. But yeah, I thought they're always adding like one. Oh, now I'm confusing with Are You the One? Never mind. I liked that they were like tied together in like the full body three-legged race. I think the in-between stuff was the little challenges with the ropes were kind of stupid, like the jump roping, the untying knots. But all together, I thought it made for a really good challenge. Were you surprised with the outcomes?
I mean, not with the winner of Bananas and Sarah winning was not a surprise. Seeing Devin and Cheyenne do as well as they did was a bit of a surprise, yeah.
Yeah, I was impressed with them. I actually had to go back because when I saw that Jenna and Vince came in fourth and Daria and Nicole lose, I was like, wait a minute, I missed Wes and Devin finishing. I just like didn't expect them to be out in front.
I was more surprised at seeing how well people did the jump roping. I feel like the jump rope with having to time it with someone else, I feel like that has to be so hard. And I mean, Wes and Nani and Bananas and Sarah just ripped through it like they were just jumping rope on their own.
So you're saying you would also choke on the...
I would choke. jump rope. Like, that has to be just the hardest part of it, right? Like, to time it with your partner to do it 30 straight times? That seems really hard. I don't know. Maybe it's not, and I'm just an idiot.
No, I mean, I haven't jump roped since, like, the fifth grade blacktop. I'm not one of those, like, adults who jumps rope to work out. I was never particularly good at jumping rope, so I'd probably still be there.
How adorable was it to hear it get a Jenna confessional about talking about something she actually knew how to do.
Even know what you're talking about.
The braiding the hair. She was like so confident. Oh, like, this is how you braid hair. I know how to do this.
Over, under, over, under. Pretty.
See? Pretty.
No, I loved my favorite. This is like one of my favorite Bananas moments in a long time is when him and Sarah win and he's like, give me a kiss. There's no cameras. Like, it's not cheating if they can't see. I actually laughed out loud during that part because I thought it was like, good self-awareness from him, like giving a nod to like all the shit he gets, and it was just cute.
Yeah, and he gave Sarah plenty of props, saying he was in awe of how well she braided.
I mean, that hasn't been an issue, I feel like, since week two or something, that he's not given her enough love.
No, just pointing it out.
A big moment here is when Jenna and Vince finish in fourth, and Vince has this like really gross quote where he's like, as long as we're not last, it's like we're first because we're with Bananas and Sarah. Mm-hmm. Edward Morris says, how would Bananas have played it if Vince and Jenna did come in last?
Probably the same, right? I mean, would he throw in Dario and Nicole over what? I mean, I think he's throwing in Wes no matter what, right? And then
I think he could easily convince that may then bring up the Jenna and Nani issue. Like, will Jenna then speak up when it's like, I don't want to go against my best friend? But it also, I feel like he could get Vince riled up to go against Wes. Like, you gotta do this, you take the shot, you can do it, like,
right?
And Vince would probably like demand Wes.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. Yeah, I don't see the nomination changing. Although at least there would have been a little more intrigue or some intrigue, I should say.
I mean, they could have maybe said like Dario and Nicole, like Vince wants Dario and Nicole and Devin and Cheyenne. But like, I just still do think you're right. That there wouldn't change and Bananas would be able to manipulate himself out of that situation.
Right.
Or manipulate. Yeah, but
I don't see Vince demanding Bananas make it easy for him. Like, Vince doesn't demand stuff to Bananas, so.
But instead we got like a very ho-hum power couple dinner again when the decisions are just so obvious.
Right. I'm surprised we even got it. Like, I'm like, why are they even showing it? I guess we're going to get something interesting. And I mean, it did kind of get something sort of interesting with their conversation about how Bananas is now happy to see Sarah when she walks into the room. So at least that was something.
Yeah, it was another, like, we love each other. But what really pissed me off is when Sarah says, like, well, hopefully I'll help us both win and pay back everything I stole from you before. Boo.
I mean, I can't even tell if she's being serious or she's just, like, pandering to him. Be like, all right, this is what he wants to hear. I still can never tell exactly when she says that stuff. What is the meaning behind it?
I think she's been totally brainwashed by him, to his credit. Like, I totally think it's exactly what Wes was saying about her desire to be a part of, like, the cool kids club. I mean, we saw that with Kenny, and, like, I just feel like that's Sarah's MO, and I don't blame her necessarily, but, like, for her to come off of being so strong-willed in Battle of the Exes, and then now to be not only apologizing, which she said she would never do, but, like, saying that she stole it from him, she owes him, she can pay him back. I mean, come on, girl.
Yeah, I mean, I can easily see it happening, though, like, I mean, if you're, this is your one and only partner and you're going to be living with this person for a month, month and a half, you're going to want them to eventually just, all right, let me just get this person to like me. And then it's like, and then you just convince yourself of that truth that you're saying. So, I mean, I can easily see this happening.
Have you met me? We'll never do this shit. That's fine. Like, I see how it happens, and I even see how he's a charming guy. So, like, the two of them are together, they're dependent on each other, and she may actually have been worn down. Like, she may feel this way. She does say on the Mucho Mas, jumping ahead, that, like, more than anything, Johnny just needed an apology from her.
Right.
But she's almost gone above and beyond, right? Like, she didn't need to say this now, right? Like, she already squashed it, but she, like, continues to say it. And I don't know. Maybe I'm not giving her enough credit. Maybe this is all calculated, but
yeah, I mean, there's a way to apologize without fully damning yourself. And I feel like she damned herself.
Yeah, it's like every apology I've ever given. All right. So, yeah, no surprise with the nominations.
Yeah. So the one surprise, Wes actually let them speak this time before going up. Devin and Cheyenne just walked up, though.
Yeah, but I think Wes knows, like, Wes is he's a professional. Like, he knows he's only got to do the, he only has to do the bit once.
Right.
Devin has not gotten the memo.
No.
When he redid the bit, I was like, ugh, eye roll.
Right. Agreed.
But this is an interesting line. New meaning to Banana's backpack. I stole that from a Vince tweet. He says his back is extremely sore from having to carry Vince and Jenna. And Derek Boucher says, did Bananas really carry Jenna to the end? She more than held her own each challenge, and this would be her third final in a row. She, quote, doesn't need to be carried, bro.
We need the soundboard right now to drop the quote.
The soundboard.
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, Jenna did well, but, I mean, she also was fortunate to have Vince as her partner because she was fortunate that he's Bananas' cousin.
I mean, right, which is it? Is Jenna arguably the best girl on the show, or is Jenna being carried by Bananas and Sarah?
If they got thrown into an elimination, they probably would have won because Jenna is very good. But they also did get carried because Bananas won a lot of these and was in control of a lot of the things that was going on.
Look, Bananas probably would have loved to carry Nate and Christina, but it was impossible, right? Because they lost. And you can't, you know, it's like the biggest layup can't just get carried because you can't. You have to be decent to not come in last, at least. So I'll give them that. Like, there wasn't a carry. They won the first challenge. Jenna had been performing well enough for you to say she's arguably better than Sarah. So I think that that's, like, a little gratuitous for Bananas to say.
Right. I mean,
this one situation, I mean, they were totally saved, obviously, by Bananas, but yeah.
I mean,
they still beat.
Yeah, the second half of the game was, they would have been much bigger targets. Or had been much more open to be being thrown in if they weren't Banana's cousin.
And then there was so the rest of the tweet that I stole from Vince I thought was funny. Vince tweeted out a Photoshop picture of him in a baby Bjorn on Banana's front and said, "Hey, yo, cuzzo, you got room for one more to bring to Argentina? Hashtag new Banana backpack." Which I thought was good. Yeah. He's had some self-aware tweets. I'll give him that, and that's all I'll give him the rest of the show.
Yeah, he's had a few, but then, like, he goes away, and then you keep watching him on the show. You're like, oh, that's right. No, he actually is just an asshole.
All right, so what do you think of Cheyenne's backtrack?
Good for her, because it would be an idiotic move to go through with it. So, you know what? Good job. Way to smarten up.
Yeah, I wasn't upset at all. Like, I pulled the tweet. Bananas said something to the effect of, like, backtracking. And it's like, come on, Bananas. Like, you know you'd be roasting them for doing that if they had done it.
Yeah, because he roasted Jordan for doing it. So it's the type of thing, like, 3 a.m. drunk. Oh, we should buy a bar. And then you wake up the next morning. What the fuck did we talk about last night?
Puzzles.
Right.
Oh, so Bananas tweeted, talk is cheap, at Devin Walker, and Devin wrote, surgery is not, couldn't risk Cheyenne castrating me like you did to Dario last episode. Thought that was phenomenal.
It is the reality season of people talking big games, though, right? With Chad and Gio.
Oh, my God. Devin. Don't even come back to Ari the One, or this is going to be a whole other podcast. But yeah, I will say that Devin's an idiot, because if he is trying to make good TV, I know he wants to be included in it, but in my eyes, the setup for Nani and Nicole stood to be much better TV than Devin, like, pulling the skulls and losing.
Right. I almost kind of forgot that Devin was mad at Dario. So, the cousin versus cousin battle would be better.
Really quick, and I don't remember where this was, because here's what happens. When I don't watch live, I fast forward. I always miss the Mitch watch, which has a lot of names, but has a lot of meanings, but the little bit, the podbuster, whatever it's called. And then when people tweet at me about it and ask questions, then I go back and try to find it. So I don't actually remember where this happened, but I'm bringing it up now with the FU charts.
Yeah, with the power couple dinner. I guess they must have called over Devin and Cheyenne for some reason. They probably call over every team. They just don't show it all. But yeah, they call them over, and Devin was like, it seemed like he was basically going through like a presentation of why you shouldn't throw me in. And at the end of it, he was like, F you, you're going to throw me in, so just do it already. And I mean, Bananas and Sarah were laughing, and it seemed like a funny time, so.
Well, no, the whole presentation was like how much they suck.
Oh, then there you go. Or that.
It was like a pie chart of like, cool was a sliver, whatever was a sliver, and F you was like the rest of the chart. It was like, here shows you guys when you're being cool. The rest shows, like, and it was like, here's over time and how much F you. And it's just like increasing. The whole thing was just a slideshow of them sucking.
I think what it shows is that Devin and Cheyenne or at least Devin seems to be like liked in the house, right?
Funny you should say that. Will Simon said, this isn't a question, but I want to make sure you guys talk about Devin's crayon drawing graphs that he showed to Sarah Bananas at the power couple dinner, because it seemed to come off as really endearing to them. Actually, this is a question. Are Devin and Cheyenne going to be set up well socially if they were to come back again, similar to Johnny Riley after Free Agents?
It seems like they're liked. I mean, despite the Vince tormenting, like, Cheyenne seemed to have the house behind her. Like, a lot of people were like trying to talk and console her and be like, Vince is an asshole, don't let him get to you. And even Devin, when after the pulled the last white skull, even him and Vince like gave a little smile, like fist bump. So I think if they come back, they should be in decent position to have some allies.
I think Johnny Riley is like a great comparison here, because it's like he doesn't seem physically threatening, so the guys aren't going to like immediately get into like a testosterone battle with them, right? Like, nobody's like necessarily afraid to go against Devin. Not that Johnny Riley's not a good competitor, but he's not physically imposing. Like, I think people would pick him over a lot of people to go up against. And he's very funny. It's like that whole luck of the Irish. Like, he's, you know, Devin's got his own bits and people seem to enjoy him. And then Cheyenne, we haven't seen much of it, but like, just not knowing her, we don't know her, but watching her on Ari the One, like, she was one of the most likable girls in the house. So it's not surprising that people like them. I think it's looking better for Devin. We have a question about it, so I won't get into it.
I mean, a beautiful girl who's nice on the challenge is always going to have people trying to at least connect with her in some way. So she's got that going for her.
Whoa. I also think Devin is just like so happy to finally have paper and pen as opposed to being on Ari the One that he just went a little crazy.
Right. Did you see, I grabbed this last week, did you see him standing next to a sign that said Truth Booth
last week's episode? Yes.
What the hell was that about?
I guess they're calling that that bed the Truth Booth.
Maybe.
So it should be called, it should be called the Boom Boom Room.
If they have,
I don't know what's happening in the...
If they have a shit they should have shown, which I don't, maybe they will, who knows? Maybe that'll come up.
I mean, they've had pretty much everything else they can have.
Basically.
But that, I think, takes us to the elimination. We're just cruising right through.
Well, this elimination started super early. So I don't know if you caught it because you were watching on DVRs. I don't know if you realized, but it started like 10:30, at least live time. So halfway in the episode. So kept a lot of things open.
Makes sense, because I'm not even halfway through the notes. So So I go by that.
I had no idea like where the rest of the episode was going to take me. Like, why is this elimination starting right now?
Can I ask you a question about this? I don't know. I ask because I'm going to ask it no matter what you say.
No, we're moving on. Tunnel vision.
They walk in and Banana says, like, this looks twisted. And then they either said no pun intended or pun intended.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the what?
Like, I think because the tunnel is like it like twists, like it turns. Like, I think that's the pun, that it actually twists, that it looks twisted, I think. But yeah, there's no pun there.
It's a little thin.
So yeah, it's a little thin.
And then Sarah was wearing a pun shirt, so I feel like Bananas just like saw the word and it like locked into it, and then just like it couldn't control control. It just saw it, said it.
It was super weird to only have like two teams up there and be like, what the hell happened?
Where did everyone go? During nominations, that's when I really noticed it, because I was like, oh, let me think. Like, if he wanted to bring, because we at one point talked about the possibility of him bringing Devin and Cheyenne to the end as a layup. And then it was like, wait a minute, the only alternative is Vince.
Right.
Sending Vince in.
I'm so kind of surprised as the numbers dwindle that they didn't just like cut that. Be like, all right, you're just going back to nominating just the one team. But I guess they wanted to be consistent.
Oh, that they didn't drop this call thing. When did they? Well, I guess it's different with free agents than this. Yeah. All right. So I'm sorry. I twisted you away from this twisty elimination.
So this was
twist.
This was tunnel vision. Sort of similar to something they've had in the past, but a little different, because instead of it was a relay race, we had a crawl through a tunnel and the guy went first. And then when they got to the side, the girl went, and you kind of meet in the middle at some point. They used to do this with running and it was a lot better as opposed to crawling. So this was like the PG version.
Well, let's talk about that, because we got a question from Nick Sabetta, which I will say that while I was in LA, I went to watch the challenge at someone named Nick's house with Johnny and Molly. And Johnny just kept saying, like, is it Nick Sabetta? Is it Nick Sabetta? Like, no, it's not Nick Sabetta.
That's amazing.
Okay, so the Nick Sabetta says, how bad was that elimination? Just because one person is smaller and can go through the tunnel doesn't mean that they should be able to win. At least on Hall Brawl or Oppenheimer from free agents, which are the challenges you're referring to, you can knock people down or get them disoriented if you're bigger slash stronger. With this one, you're already on the ground, and then being in the same tunnel meant literally nothing.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what you would do to someone when you're crawling on the ground to like stop them, like just grab their foot. Like, I don't see how it gets physical.
Yeah, the other thing is, and they said that a lot, like, oh, I'm not going to get physical with my cousin. But then Dario and Wes didn't either, and they don't have cousin obligations.
They kind of touched on the first lap, and the second time they just crawled right past each other.
But I don't know if the idea is that, like, if you're smaller, you want to just evade and run. But if you're bigger, you want to use your mass to push them all the way back to your bell. Or as far as you can push them until you're closer to the bell and can beat them then. But I feel like the fact that it was twisted makes that impossible. Like, you're not going to get someone around a curve. No one is, like, even Nani and Nicole, who are, by Nani's estimates, 60 pounds different. I don't think that's true. But I feel like you can't bring someone around a curve, which is why Hall Brawl is great, because it's just straight.
Right.
Yeah. It's just like a straight across shot.
I don't know why they kind of landed on this. And it's not like they had to worry about like a guy going against a girl, because it's like they made it as a relay. So by the time the second people matched up, it was like you're going to match up with a person of your same sex. So I don't know why they did it crawling. It didn't play that well.
I also didn't want it to be heats. This is really nitpicking, but I almost wanted it when they like, if it were like they had to each hit the bell three times or something like that. So you just like keep going. Don't give people an opportunity to like rest and switch the order. Like, I just wanted it to be like boom, 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 boom. Because somebody did mention that they like really made an effort to make it like it was close between Wes and Dario. And I want to, like, let me see an all out massacre if that's what it is. Like, they really saved Wes some face here, but like, I think everyone could tell it was not even close.
Yeah, Dario smoked Wes, like, really bad.
I thought the aerial shot here, just to comment on the editing, was, like, absolutely incredible. That was my favorite, when they literally looked like mice in a cage.
Yeah, when they went.
And they only gave us that shot for, like, 2 seconds.
And they're usually really good with, like, the production value of showing this stuff. For some reason, I always love when they walk into the elimination, like, they have the... They switch off between the fast forward walk and then the slow motion walk. It gets me every time. I get pretty pumped up.
It's working.
Yeah.
whip out your jersey that you ironed on Brian onto the back of it.
God, sell jerseys already. It's ridiculous.
But yeah, I mean, I think it was all in an effort to really make it look like it was close, which all reality shows try to make blowouts look like they're close. But I would have liked to see like a full whooping of Wes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's what it was. Nani and Nicole was pretty close each time. So
did this frustrate you at all when Nani and Nicole? So basically, Nicole the whole and Nani are giving confessionals the whole time of like, this is terrible. Nicole breaks down crying after she wins. And I'm just like, you are the reason that the two of you are against each other. You screwed up all hope of like being in the power alliance with Nani. You sold Nani out. So dry those tears.
Yeah, that it's I didn't think it was forced because I did think she was actually upset in the moment. But yeah, like you kind of caused it yourself. And it didn't like there was nothing like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I really caused this. Like, I can't believe how much I screwed up. It was just like, I'm sorry, I'm sending you home, even though I kind of led this to happening the whole way.
Yeah, we did get that on the Mucho Mas, but I mean, it's just like every time I say Mucho Mas, I feel like I work for Taco Bell, like it's an order. Like, can I supersize it? Right, you want to make that Mucho Mas? I didn't think it was fake. I actually thought it was like a beautiful moment of like a literal passing of the torch because Nani's, as you and Dane talked about last week, resigned. Right. But so I thought that was like a really nice moment. They're hugging each other. We wish we could go on together, but Nicole's moving forward. And like, I thought that was a really nice moment, story-wise, but I just was like so annoyed because I'm like, you're the cause of your own tears. Like, you only have yourself to blame.
Yeah. It wasn't like they got randomly tossed into the last one as like we'll see next week. Yeah. This was just her own doing.
And now that somebody asked this question and I was like, why are they asking this? And now I'm realizing because it comes right up in this section. So sorry. Now that we've like moved forward, it's on Twitter, so I'll try to pull it up while I'm talking. Now that we've seen the outcome of the Dario move, like, do we still feel like it was a bad move? Do we think it was the worst move?
It was a horrible move because all the best case scenario of his decision is playing out, him potentially going to a final with at least one of, but probably two, Bananas and Sarah and Vince and Jenna. And that is not a good outcome for him.
This was from John Densford on Twitter, by the way.
So, yeah, no, it was an atrocious move. It was a third place move, and he's probably going to get third place. Best case scenario, he'll get second.
What was amazing, though, is like I'm looking at the final four of Dario, Nicole, Sarah Bananas, Devin and Cheyenne, and Vince and Jenna. I'm like, Bananas and Sarah must wake up every day from this final four on like in absolute disbelief that this is the situation they're in. Like, and there's, I mean, I guess maybe you could say Jamie and Cara had like a similarly amazing situation, but I feel like this has to be the best final situation for anyone,
especially because I mean I'm trying I don't like Bananas and Sarah are at this point now just dominating down the stretch, and I don't think Cara and Jamie were like I don't remember them winning the last few challenges going into the final, like, but didn't they lose a couple? I think so. I mean, Bananas and Sarah just have a complete stranglehold.
Well, they had to be in the elimination to take Bananas out,
right.
I don't remember if they got voted in or if they were the ones that lost.
The fact that neither of them, unless they get unlucky or whatever it is for the next elimination, are going to even be in a draw. Like, they haven't been in a draw the whole time, right?
Well, they're going to be in a draw next week.
Yeah, but like leading up to, as opposed to when the whole house had the chance to throw them in.
Oh, yeah, they were never thrown in.
It's so beyond mind-boggling. It's beyond comprehension that these people are so stupid that at no point were either of them up to be eliminated.
Yes.
Like, how is that possible?
Yeah, sorry. So just really quick, Carr and Jamie went into the last three pits before elimination.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. No one ever took a shot. We had more people playing for third place, or at least openly playing for third place. I mean, basically all the goons just killed each other trying to get to third. Like, it was their only winning scenario.
They all playing afraid.
Before we get to the montage, just like to eulogize Nani and Wes here. Now, Wes, somebody commented on your last podcast with Dane that Wes did some Facebook Live that I missed. I don't know if you saw it.
I didn't.
Okay, so all they said was like, Wes was like talking about his businesses. It was a response to like you and Dane mocking his businesses, which was hysterical, right. And still deserved, even if he explains them. And that Wes said like he thinks he only has like one more challenge in him. So like any rumor that he's retiring, he's not. But should he? Based on this performance.
I mean, he just doesn't have it anymore, right? Like, I don't see how he competes with the top guys in the house. Like, he's just not on that level.
Well, he competes with the top guys. He doesn't compete with the top guy. Like, he's not. I think we can let go of the idea that Wes is the only one who can beat Bananas, because Wes cannot beat Bananas at this stage.
Right. I mean, he couldn't even beat
Dar. He can strategize against him, but he can't beat him physically.
I mean, he got destroyed by Dario here, like obliterated.
Right. And people can say like, oh, it wasn't his comp or whatever. But like at the end of the day, this was just like speed and will. I think this was like a pretty evenly matched. Like, yes. But I think Dario's bigger, though. So it's almost like Wes had it, maybe not taller, but like he's got more meat on his bones.
Right. Right. I mean, I don't think so. Did Wes and Nani win a challenge this season?
No, I don't think so, because Def Bananas would have.
Yeah, they would have thrown them in. So, yeah. So the best they did, I think, was on the flag thing, right? When they got the two flags. And it seemed like when they went, it didn't even seem like they did well. And it just turned out that they did well.
Cody Darville on Twitter tweeted, like, at Wes, heard you may not do any more challenges. Don't like it when you're not there. Feel like you're the only one to take down Bananas. And Wes said, why does everyone keep saying this? Where are these egregious rumors coming from? I like Wes. I think Wes was really entertaining. I had a conversation with someone in Rob's patron group about this, like, or no, maybe it was a comments on your podcast this week. I don't know where I'm talking to people. I'm talking to you everywhere.
So many outlets.
Yeah, someone said, like, I love Wes. Like, Wes is better than Bananas. And I was like, I love Wes. I think Wes is more entertaining and it's, like, less harmful than Bananas' entertainment. The jokes are not, like, at people's direct expense. Anyway, but you can't just, like, cut out challenge prowess, right? Like, if I were able to say, like, the challenges don't count, who's better?
Right.
This would be a different show.
I mean, I think Wes, at this point, he's kind of more suited for, I don't know, they don't really know it going in, but he's more suited for like a group situation where he can try to not have to carry his own load to get through. Like, you know, he could be in a team. I know that sounded horrible. he could be like in a team as opposed to just either being by himself or with a pair where he just has a lot more on his plate.
Yeah, that would be a great spot where he's like the strategic mind, but he has a goon squad executing.
Yeah,
I just think I would really miss Wes on a challenge, but he's got to shape up. He's been tweeting a lot of jokes about like his old self and like, should I go back to this? Like, you know, whatever. So who knows? Maybe he's going to be disappointed in his own performance. He's certainly not the worst. Like, he's definitely not the worst. He's just not ever going to beat Bananas at this point.
I would like Wes to keep coming back, but you just have to lower the expectations with him. So,
but then it's almost like, why is he there? Right. Cause if every week, if Bananas is going to win every challenge and Wes is going to go in every time, like what's the point of Wes even being there?
This is the thing. If Bananas and Sarah do win, which at this point it would just be a complete stunner if they don't, I would like to see Bananas not on next season. 100%. I want to see it clean slate with completely open. And that with Wes on would be fun to see.
Interesting. I just want Wes to bulk back up.
There you go.
Like Tosh says about steroids, like use them for my amusement.
Cut down the 20 businesses and then add some bulk.
No, I don't want you to jeopardize your health, Wes. Don't take steroids. Blah, 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 blah. Legal. Okay.
Hire Corey as your personal trainer. No, he's horrible. Don't.
Can I just say that I really liked this montage, and what I liked most about it was that the song was called Jungle Days.
It was a fantastic montage. Yeah, I loved it. The GoPro stuff is not used enough for the show. I love it.
Whenever they do it. We've really found out where Bananas belongs, behind the camera.
There you go.
Get him off the screen, behind the camera, have him direct every episode.
Bumping into people with the screen and then Nicole like dropping and then picking up like, oh no, it's not broken, like that's just like a charming moment for this chaotic show.
Yeah, well, it's got to be like GoPro hasn't paid enough to be on every episode. Like they have a deal, right?
I would assume so.
Johnny's girlfriend and yada yada. But yeah, I just thought this, I love when they show us them traveling and like we get a like, you know, the eight of them just like goofing off, and an amazing Jenna line here.
Yeah, when she thought the final was starting, like, what, the final's now? What? Oh, it's not yet. I don't know. I'm just going to try to, like, sleep.
He's like, we're ready for our final leg. And she's like, we're getting ready for the final.
I can't believe they put him, like, with, like, I called it muggles on Twitter. Like, could you imagine being on a plane and you look to your left and right and you see Jenna and Vince and Bananas? You're like, oh, my God, it's like the lost plane.
Okay, I have to tell you that my thinking was the exact opposite, which is look at all these people not recognizing them at all. No one gives a shit about who these people are.
I mean, they're like, how many people watch the challenge? Where in Mexico are they? I don't know, but I don't know how many people watch the challenge there. So
no one stopped them at that airport and was like, oh my God, are you filming right now? Is this a final?
That was great. Yeah, well done.
Now, when they get to Argentina, like, they have a pretty sweet pad. It is bunk beds, but I got to tell you, these are much nicer accommodations than what I stayed in when I was in Argentina. This is not hostel quality. Very, very good job by MTV.
Yeah, they had a nice little spread of food. It was weird to have the bunk beds, though, right? Because, like, the rest of the hotel was, like five-star gorgeous, and then you look to the room, and it's, like, a dorm. But, like, outside,
I mean, it's eight,
like,
people.
I guess so.
Look, I stayed in bunk beds. I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
I am complaining. I mean, I wouldn't be complaining if I were them.
But I just feel like they went out all expenses and then like they cheaped out on the beds. That was just weird.
Well, Battle of the Exes was like a shanty town, wasn't it? Like they were in like one hotel room, it looked like. When was Naya harassing Jordan? Like I feel like I remember that being like a very small space.
There was also the time where they were like next to a volcano, right? And they were like in a cabin. I think it was like not insulated at all. So I guess it's better than that.
All right, so we have a question that's going to kick off this whole thing here. Rick W. Jane says, when did Chantel become a stripper name?
I don't know, but that was very funny, I thought.
Which part?
The fact that she called it a stripper name.
Oh, I thought you were like, I was like, oh, which side are you on? No, you're, no. You're on the wrong side.
No, don't worry. I'm not on Vince's side. I am not talking myself in any way to defending Vince here. Don't worry.
Yeah, what I liked is that Cheyenne's like standing up for herself. Like these are intimidating guys. Like you know, sometimes we talk about like the people who are like starstruck by Bananas. Like she's not messing around here. Like she gets disrespected and you're going to hear from Cheyenne.
Yeah. Dropping the wire quote. My name is my name.
Yeah, she tweeted just some, I mean, we can get into it or I can go to the tweet, but she basically tweeted about why she got so upset about that. And I pasted it and not in my phone. Sorry. Okay. So she, I will just not have this. Oh, here. She said, for the record, I have nothing against the name Chantel. My ancestors were stripped of their names. I was taught to protect my birth name. Next tweet, my biggest pet peeve is being called out of my name. So there you go. I mean, I'm not interested in like debating what I actually do want to say for anyone who listens to Are You the One. Like I do regret saying no one called me out on this. I've just been thinking about it. At one point, a girl gets mad about a guy hooking up with someone else. And I was like, I don't know why she's so upset. Like, I don't believe her emotions, whatever. It's not my job to be questioning whether or not these people should be upset. So I'm not interested in arguing whether or not Cheyenne should be upset. You know, some people were going back and forth in the car. I do think that this it was like a lot from Vince, though, like too much.
Right. Clearly this was not like a one night thing for them just calling her. This was a one night thing. And you get this upset about being called like a different name, like if a Starbucks guy calls you a different name and people make a joke of that for one night. Like that's taking probably a little oversensitive. But this was clearly week long, like few weeks long thing of her just being, oh, my God, enough. Just call me by my fucking name. Like it's enough already.
How about his classic lines of if you deserve it, it's not bullying. Oh my God, Vince, like open the news, like, you know, like crack open your laptop or God forbid a newspaper and like read about what's been going on in the world with bullying and the consequences of that. But you tell those kids' parents, your kid deserved it. So it's not bullying.
And even if for some God awful reason, that's true. In what world does Cheyenne deserve it? Like, what has she done?
The best part is when Vince then switches and calls her Siobhan. Like, who's less likely to know that Siobhan was actually a contestant on the challenge, Vince or Cheyenne?
Well, actually, I thought was maybe the most disturbing thing of the whole time was when he called her Simone. Oh, did you catch that at the end?
Oh, I caught that.
Yeah.
The fishing hook.
Yeah, that was probably like the, to me, like the most like cringeworthy, like, ooh, where is this going right now?
Yeah, well, it's like, okay, like reference like the one other African-American female on the show. And I know that he meant, I'll say this with that, because the camera time was like such a big deal for Simone, the hope is that he meant it as in she's crying for camera time, which is disgusting as it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an unfortunate choice.
It was.
But even more than that, like when he says, if you give us an inkling, like we're going to continue, he is everyone that I hate and everything that I hate about like a middle school boy. But he's a 30 plus year old man. Yeah. Like what adult is like, I really get jazzed when you get upset. And the more you get upset, the more, you know, like people tell their kids that like they're just doing it for a reaction. Don't give them what they're looking for and they'll go away. Like who has to say that about a man Vince's age, size, weight, hat size? Like, I don't understand.
And like clearly do it like over and over and over again, like have a little bit of like self-awareness, but like, all right, this is like going too far.
And then he just goes like, he just stops dropping like any joke of it, of just like, she's very ugly with terrible hair. And it's like, these aren't jokes. Like there's nothing I like less for, well, racism, yes, I don't like misogyny, yes, all of this he was guilty of. But also horrible jokes. Horrible, horrible jokes. I mean, I won't stand for that.
The brown eye Hazel thing. What the hell does that even mean?
It was very, I mean, then MTV, Emily Crow let us know that MTV tweeted out a website that basically explains what a microaggression is, like what a racial, I don't have this, a racist microaggression, a racial microaggression. And it's like, yeah, it doesn't, like some people are like, oh, it was intentional or whatever. Like, I do believe that these were intentional attacks. And if they weren't intentionally racist, they were obviously racist, in my opinion. A lot of the stuff he was saying, and he was just being ignorant then, which is not an excuse for hurting someone and attacking someone directly. But even if you wash all of that away, it was just plain mean. It was just mean. It was definitely these. Oh, it was definitely aggressive.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to throw around like the racist thing for Vince, but I mean, to me, he's just an equal opportunity asshole. Like, I think he's just an asshole to everyone.
Is he? Because this seemed like direct targeting of Cheyenne, and but, Cheyenne like, said it had happened many times before, it like and it's always her.
It seemed like he was an asshole to Camilla at one point, and it seemed like he's been an asshole to like Jenna at points. So I think he's just an asshole. Like, maybe he's just an asshole to women, which is probably the case. I just think he's just an asshole.
We can say at points, but if we're going to believe Cheyenne's story, like this has been relentless basically for the whole time. And
he
we
probably
seen
likes
it.
Her, which is like the saddest thing of it all. Like this all just comes down to the fact that he just likes her and he's just like a 10-year-old bully.
Yeah, but that's such a dangerous thing that's going on right now, which is like we have to stop telling women. It's like, oh, he pokes you because he likes you. Like he's mean because he likes you. We have to stop telling guys like that's how you show someone that they like you. I was most disgusted that nobody really said anything. That it took Sarah like a decade on the bus to say something when she's been a target of this kind of stuff from everyone last season. I was like, where are you? Where are you standing up to? You're sitting in between basically Vince and Cheyenne and you're just letting this happen until like the last second when she's like, all right, just leave her alone.
I did like to see. I like that Devin eventually did stand up and be like, just cut the shit out. So that was good to say.
And just to backtrack really quick, I'm not calling Vince a racist by saying that some of the things had racial implications, right? Like, so I'm not painting with a broad brush and saying he's racist. But what he was saying have racial implications, and whether or not it was intentional, you're still responsible.
Right. I was waiting for the guy in the back of the bus, the Rando with the glasses to stand up and step in, but he didn't either. So that was disappointing.
And at certain points, we've been able to discuss, like, okay, the exchange between Tony and Camilla, right? Like, Camilla's coming back asking for it. Tony's asking for it. Like, they're both in exchange. Cheyenne is literally, from what we see, not saying a critical thing to Vince, not egging him on at all. The most she can be confused, like, accused of is, like, having a stern tone and just screaming, like, leave me alone.
And we see a lot of these fights and people have confessionals and they're, like, talking about, like, the stupid things they're fighting about. And Cheyenne, I think it was in the confessional, talking about how when she was a kid, she went to an all-white high school and then she went to an all-black college and like never seemed to fit in. And that was like one of the most like real things I've ever heard anyone say on the challenge. about growing up and like their life and now doing it from here. Like, I felt so bad for her in this moment. I'm like, oh my God, this is like a real thing, like coming to light. And I just wanted to give her a hug.
Yeah, that's why he's totally responsible for this. I mean, it's like, it's a total othering experience. Like, for whatever reason, Vince was targeting her in this moment. It was not, you know, a spree of like, Wes, like, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. It was totally targeting. And I can understand why this would be triggering for Cheyenne. And when we heard this, yeah, this was something we didn't hear from Cheyenne on Are You the One. We haven't heard it from her on the challenge. So it was heartwarming. Yeah, it was just disgusting to have that couple, like, the next thing from Vince is just like, oh, Simone, have you gotten enough camera time yet? It's like, get a life, Vince.
Vince is the worst.
I don't think she's going home, though. I'll just say that.
No, I mean, no, she's...
I mean, not from her own volition. Like, she's not quitting.
Right. I mean, they kind of, like, basically showed it in the preview. She's not, but yeah.
So Vince tweeted two lessons. I'm shocked he didn't tweet more than this. It's actually, like, effing pathetic for Vince. Two lessons learned. One, Cheyenne, I shouldn't be so insensitive when I'm drunk. For that, I'm sorry. Yeah, blame it on the goose. Hashtag just number two. Devin is a bitch, sober or drunk. So Vince has learned nothing, is continuing to be aggressive, and this apology is not worth the virtual paper it's written on.
What's probably the most annoying thing about Vince is if for someone who's going to like come across like, oh, you don't deserve to be here, like try to do something, at least be good. Like, be good at this stuff. And he is not even good at challenges that it's like he doesn't even back up his own words. Like, that's just adding on to, like, Vince sucks. Like, at least be good at the freaking competitions if you're going to, like, talk shit.
Oh, when he said some teams don't deserve to be here, he wasn't talking about himself?
Yeah. Like, look in the damn mirror, dude.
This is an Emily Crow said, MTV put up a link on Twitter defining Vince's insults as racial microaggressions. Does this mean they feel he and Bananas went too far and hopefully that Vince won't be asked back?
I mean, they probably feel they went too far. I don't think that means Vince is not being asked back, though.
Yeah, no, I mean, we always go back to CT. Like, if CT and, you know, Adam from Vegas, like, can come back after what occurred.
And they paired them together.
No, I mean separately. Different Adam.
Oh, okay.
From Nani Season. I'm just like, yeah. Those are the two people that stick out to me as, like, the most violent, like, horrific people that then just came back.
I mean, CT, like, if there was no security there, he legitimately would have tried to kill Adam that night. And then they brought them back and paired them together. So, yes, they can bring Vince back for this.
Also, just like Abe being there. I mean, Abe, the fact that they have to have like full security on him at all times. Like, and you know, this is kind of like, I mean, in a way, it's the old real world model of like, we bring people with from different backgrounds who have issues and feelings and we put them together. And I don't unfortunately think that this became a learning experience from Vince, but, you know. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't necessarily think this should preclude him from coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I still want to see Vince season without Bananas there. I just, for my own curiosity, I want to see how it plays out. So,
yeah, I mean, and then it's like now we're, you know, people who saw Vince act like this, like people who watched, who are not on the show yet, who are watching this on TV, see Vince act like this. And hopefully it has social consequences in the game moving forward. So I don't necessarily think people should just be like punished by not being able to come back, but hopefully he'll get his comeuppance.
Yep.
Not with Bananas around, though. You're right.
Right.
PJ Gaughan, which I loved you struggling to pronounce last week because I always struggle to pronounce his name. It like took me a really long time.
Okay. I'm horrible with names. So yeah.
I've had to go back and forth with him like many times off air. Based on her team's performance in the challenge and her standing up to the Bananas pineapple combo, what are the chances Cheyenne is asked back for another challenge?
I think she'll. I think she's got a good chance of being brought back, right? I mean, they were willing to bring her back this season, right? So they can bring her back again.
I mean, I think she's a good person if they're trying to, like, stack the group with people for Devin. You know, like, they, you know, if they want to put some people behind the Minority Alliance. I think also, I was shocked that Cheyenne got the call for the challenge. I mean, granted, they wanted a rival for Devin. They could have pulled a couple other people from Are You the One for that. Mm-hmm. We loved Cheyenne, but she wasn't the most, like, outspoken, crazy person. So the fact that they recognized her from Are You the One to me means that like she's done enough to get asked back.
Definitely.
But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, what? But there aren't that many like one-time people. I feel like a lot of people get brought back a second time. So,
And then just moving forward a little bit to the preview from next week, not the Mucho Mas one, the one that just ended after the episode. Mm-hmm. So they shed a little more light on the, I almost said Deal or No Deal, the friend or foe mm-hmm. ending that we're speculating.
Well, they, I mean, sort of, right? They kind of hinted at it, but they still didn't. We still don't know the full details yet.
Well, one thing it was like the person, he said, whoever has the most points will make a huge decision, like them alone. And so the question is like, are they individually racking up points during the final, like while right. they're competing together? Like, that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah. If it's just a matter, like, do you think it's just gonna be like whoever does better in the final gets to choose if they want to give their partner half? Because that would be a lot lamer than the friend or foe thing.
Yeah, so for anyone who's just here for the first time, like the concept of the friend or foe is like Brian and I win. I have to say friend. I say like either keep. I keep the money for myself. Split. We split it. If one person says keep, the other says split. The keeper keeps all the money. Screws the splitter. They mm-hmm. both say split. They split. If they both say keep, no one gets anything.
Right.
I don't think they can do that because I don't think they'd want a team to get nothing. So for me, like from MTV's perspective, I don't like it as much, but I get that maybe they'd have like, all right, Banana's got the most points. So he picks, does he keep or does he split?
If that's the case, I mean, can you really, I guess it's kind of an asshole move, but it's a lot different in my mind, the scenario that could play out than the scenario we had in our minds.
Well, what's the justification? Like, you can't complete the final without your partner doing well. We don't know what points are, like, if that's like
right. I mean, well, we still have to see how it plays out before we start ripping him for doing it.
No, I'm not ripping anyone. I'm just saying regardless, like, I still think it's the same effect if you don't choose to split it. Like, presumably you finish the final together, unless it's just totally individual and Sarah can come in last and Bananas could come in first and then he mm-hmm. decides to give her half.
Yeah, the points things is weird. Like, I don't know how one partner would get more points than the other one. I don't know how that's going to play out.
We shall see. Any highlights for you from the Mucho Mas this week?
I wrote down a couple. I mean, they were making a big thing about the revelation that Bananas is like manipulative. It's like, I mean, have you people ever watched the show before? Like, yeah, he's going to manipulate a situation and try to benefit himself.
Yeah, but you're really like underselling what that moment was. I mean, that was like let's talk about it. I mean, this was the one thing that I really pulled from this about, they played like a very dark clip for anyone who doesn't watch Mucho Mas and our international friends who don't get Mucho Mas, I think. Basically, Bananas and Nicole were having a conversation about they played a clip from the show mm-hmm. that was not aired about Bananas basically like inceptioning Nicole, like, you know, what would happen if you made a final and she didn't? And Nicole's like, well, she wouldn't text me, but like, I would be happy for her if she made a final. Like, isn't that selfish? And all of this stuff. And he was like, yeah, I mean, she thinks you're just going to roll over for her. Mm-hmm. And Nani came in hot at Bananas after seeing that, didn't come after Nicole at all. And you know, what's hysterical to me is what bothered me the most is not his manipulation of Nicole, you know, whatever, your line is your line. But the fact that he's basically saying that loose friends from a TV show should roll over for each other, but not cousins. That it's like selfish of Nani to expect Nicole to help her out, but Sarah should have sacrificed her game for Bananas.
Right. Yeah, that's twisted. Yeah. But I mean, that's like, to me, like, any Bananas manipulation is never going to come as a shock to me, because this is what he needs. This is his job. So he's not like, he sees an opening. Oh, these cousins now hate each other. Let me try to split them apart and get Nicole further on my side to help me in the future in this game. Like, that's like, I would be surprised if he didn't do something like this.
No, it wasn't surprising to me. It was just dark. I mean, it was dark. And Nani was clearly like very upset by it. Mm-hmm. And she was saying like, that's my family. Like, you're coming in between my family. And he's like, yeah, so what? Like, it's a game. Like, she was talking shit about you. And then it's like, well, all right, Bananas. Then by the same token, it's a game and you and Sarah are not family. Like, that's just what upset me. Not that he mm-hmm. did that. I didn't really care about that.
But Nicole saying that she didn't trash Nani at all? Like, I fully don't believe that.
I mean, she was like, I never said anything negative about her. She was negative in the clip.
Yeah.
She called her selfish in the clip.
I fully get like Nani and Nicole squashing it easily. Like, they're cousins. This is a game. Like, I can, like, they squashed it probably the first day they were back, I'm sure. And I could see why the anger is more towards Bananas, because I mean, there's plenty of anger already there. So,
yeah, you have to. I was thinking the same thing. Exactly. Like, you can't. She can't watch that clip and then just beef with Nicole. Like, she has to just put it out of her head. She got manipulated. It's not Nicole's fault. She's innocent. Because you just got to keep it moving for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Emily Crow says, so Sarah at one point goes therapist and says that Nani and Bananas are like still friends. And she can't believe that. It's an abusive relationship. Yawn. And Emily Crow says, how can Sarah accuse Nani of being in an abusive relationship with Bananas when it seems she has cut off ties with Johnny and Sarah is still obsessed with talking about him, if you go by her podcast?
Right. I mean, I really don't like that the Sarah podcast thing is out there now. Because it's almost like almost spoiling it, the fact that Sarah hates him this much. Because the show is like showing, oh my God, they're best friends. Like, even on these after shows, it doesn't seem like she hates him that much. Here, like, all right, she's throwing a few lines here or there, but it just seems like that's just to like help out Nani here, right? Like, it doesn't even seem like she has that much hatred. But like, based on these podcasts, it's like so clear that Bananas takes all the money from her.
Well, she is nodding like profusely while Nani's saying that he's manipulative and it sells people out and whatever. And she's like, I totally agree with that. Like, why are you even friends with him? Like, she's definitely not defending him or being his friend. Yeah, it's not as clear, but I mean, I feel like if we didn't hear the podcast and we saw this, we would start speculating like what happened to their best friendship.
Right.
Another point Bananas makes that is going to segue to this question. So basically he's saying like we mended our friendship that wouldn't have been mended, and that Sarah, like, he remembered why he liked Sarah to begin with, like when they were around each other at the challenge. So Billy Gross says, was it a huge advantage that Bananas and Sarah were practically best friends before they became rivals, while the rest of the rivals were rivals from the start?
I just think it was a huge advantage that they're just both top competitors.
Fair enough.
That's the advantage.
Yeah. I mean, it's yes. Yes. But I think it's also there is some advantage to the fact that like most of the other rivals, like Boom, didn't get along from the jump. Like, they had a relationship established and like they were friends for longer than they were rivals.
I think it's not even that they were friends. It's just that they knew each other for that long. Like, some of these other rivals, like, I mean, it didn't seem like Tony and Camilla would have hated them much, but they did. But some of the other ones that were kind of new rivalries, if you don't know the person, you just don't have that much chemistry with the person. But Bananas and Sarah, they've been doing these for so long that even if they did hate each other, they just still have that history together.
And then the only other thing I pulled from the Mucho Mas was, it's strange to me that MTV chose to include that Bananas says there. Nessa says to Bananas that when they found out that Sarah would be on the show, I mean, clearly as his partner, and they didn't say that, but on the show, that he texted the talent coordinator threatening to quit. So there goes Sarah on her podcast pretending to be surprised. There goes the whole pretend editing surprise, as though we didn't already know that they find out the theme and their partners in advance.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
It was a little nice peek behind the curtain, though, that they even brought that up.
Yeah, but it's almost like, you know, if you're going to lie to me, have the courtesy to do it consistently. So like that whole like behind the scenes of the challenge where they have that whole intro about getting the call and they tell you absolutely nothing and you don't know anything. I mean, unless Banana somehow has a courtesy that the others don't have, everything's been a lie.
I'm sure he has a little more insight, though.
Mike Bloom says, would you say the casting of pairs from Bloodlines on this season turned out to be a mistake? As interesting as watching Nicole choose to abstain from rooting for her cousin is, having teams guaranteed not to vote each other out, vote each other in, mitigates the drama. Vince even outlined this episode that he just didn't need to come in last because he had basically won the challenge.
It's fair, but I blame just the cast. Like, they knew Bananas and Vince were cousins, and they were idiots to not try to separate them this whole season. So I'm not blaming MTV for that. Nicole kind of did screw over Nani at some point, so like they were willing to go after each other, but the rest of the house decided not to go after Bananas and Vince, and that's on them, not MTV.
Yeah, see, I actually think the Bloodline casting turned out like best case scenario for them, where it like wasn't the main issue at all, but they got their like voting out your mom almost moment where Nicole betrays Nani, and then they got their elimination with one of the Bloodlines. Right. So I feel like they'd overall be happy with it.
It was a bit of a stretch. I mean, it was a true first time ever, but it wasn't like there were that many options for this to happen before, considering this is the first time this first season ever where it could have happened, and there's only two pairs of Bloodlines. So first time ever out of like three possibilities that it finally happened.
Michelle Dola says, do you think they showed the Zach Jenna drama as foreshadowing to why Jenna and Vince don't perform well in this last bit? If I were Jenna, I'd be more determined to win some cash to go home and rub it in Zach's face that I bank some cash he will never see.
I mean, where was the foreshadowing why Vince sucked the entire season? So,
no, but I do think that it's, it could become more of an explanation moving forward. I mean, do you think that this is the end? That's all we hear about Jenna and Zach? I feel like we're definitely going to hear more about it next week.
I mean, they may have showed it now, because I mean, what if they go home next week, then they wouldn't have time to do it next week. So.
What? No. Okay. Do you think we're going to see more of it next week, even if they do go home?
I don't think so.
That's so unresolved, right? Like, it's so.
I mean, I don't think it gets resolved until Jenna goes back. I don't know what else they show.
That's fair. I mean, unless she like basically forces him to break up with her on the phone. Like, clearly, Zach just doesn't want to break up with her on TV.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what else. I feel like if there was more else to show, they would have shown it. Because clearly nothing else happens with them in the house, because they're not in the house anymore. So unless she's calling him from Argentina, but I don't think that's happening.
I do think, though, that like she'll be talking about it a lot, at least. And if she loses, she'll be like, my head wasn't in the game.
Oh, yeah. That's fair. That's why I do think that the possibility of them losing this elimination is up there, because that way they waited this long to show it, because they just knew they had to show it now.
And then last question from Billy Gross. We see in the preview that, like in Free Agents, there will be one last jungle with a draw. Can you go through all the possible matches predicting who you believe will go home in each match?
I say Bananas and Sarah beat everyone. Devin and Cheyenne lose to everyone. And then that just leaves the other two facing each other, right?
So it would be interesting, based on what you're saying, if Vince and Jenna get randomly thrown into this one, then they go home. Like, wouldn't that be hilarious of, like, the setup of Bananas? Like, I carried Vince here, and then it would be like, you know, you can't save him from the cork draw, and you can't save him from the elimination, but... I mean, let's just say, so like, let's say the corks get pulled and Dario and Nicole play Devin and Cheyenne. We don't really know. I mean, I think Devin and Cheyenne have the puzzles over Dario and Nicole. Mm-hmm. I don't think this could be some like crazy physical thing. I mean, it could be like the wrestling of the ring out of the other person's hand, or.
Right. I don't think they really hinted at what it was going to be, right?
There was some setup, but I couldn't determine what it was. I mean, I guess I could determine it wasn't wrestle the ring out of.
I feel like we definitely had this conversation for Free Agents too, but. Why don't they just do, like, they should do every season, just the final four is not even a challenge. It's just elimination. Team that finishes last is gone. Why can't they ever do, like, the true earn your stripes to a final?
And as opposed to the random draw, you don't like
the random
draw.
Just these four, you compete. Whoever finishes last goes home.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind, especially in this situation, like a blind vote.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every person gets a vote and it's totally blind. So, like, you know, if you want to slit your cousin's throat because you think they're bigger competition, Vince,
right,
or Jenna, because you're not actually related to him, that would be like an interesting thing for me. But pretty much only in this one scenario, this one season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the draw, it's kind of stupid, like, to put their game in that. It should either be, yes, everyone competes and the loser goes home, or it should be some kind of like the social game, the vote. Like, it should not be just like pull a name out of a hat and you have a 50-50 shot of leaving.
I love that they changed up the thing to pull, though, just in case Devin and Cheyenne have their little trick.
I hate that. I feel like for branding wise and consistency, it makes no sense. That it was like they just didn't have enough skulls, or they couldn't get a skull guy in Argentina. He left them in Mexico.
Yeah, maybe
these corks quick.
The package, they got lost on the flight. They had to order something quick.
And anything else from the episode? I have a couple of things from Twitter that I didn't read yet, but other than that...
No, I don't have anything.
All right. Let's see. So Jenna tweeted in response to like Jenna like being carried. She said, staying out of last also helped Johnny. And Vince said, tell him, Jenna, you at least carried half the weight. Which again was another self-aware tweet by Vince.
Yeah, so he has a few.
Vince and Nicole kind of got into it, but it was like mostly a joke. So this Natalie girl, I guess, screen capped as a Snapchat conversation with Nicole and said, we asked if she liked Wes and she said, nope, LOL, as a person outside of that challenge house. Yeah, but not in a challenge. And then Wes wrote, so I'm liked when it matters and disliked when my job is to wreak havoc. Chin scratch emoji. We're back, everyone. And Nicole said, no, I think your job is the 9729 company. Oh, sorry. I ruined the joke. 9,729 companies you own. You're good at that. I swear. No sarcasm. Whew, this is a new one. Laugh emoji with a droplet on the forehead. I don't know if it's sweat or they just got rained on and they thought it was funny. Then Wes said, that's well over 4,500 companies per face you have. Where the wild things are. Monster emoji. Devil mask emoji, just red mask. Nicole said, burn, fire emoji. That one hurt my soul / bare face. And someone wrote, like, she's amazing at makeup. And Wes said, yeah, she's very good at it. No sarcasm. And Nicole said, it's sometimes hard to tell if anyone is sarcastic or not, but I believe you this time. LOL. So the makeup jokes are getting old to me, I feel like. Yeah, we get it. She wears a lot of makeup. She looks different without it. Okay.
Agreed.
Avery got in the game and just said to Cheyenne, I'm so sorry for those assholes and how they treated you. You handled yourself way better than I would have. Hashtag kudos. Hashtag fuck that.
Avery from the clouds.
She back. And that's all and everything else I think I read midstream.
There you go.
That's it.
That's it. Two more episodes.
Unclear. Do we know if the finale is right after the episode or if it's a separate episode?
I would think the reunion should be right after the finale. I mean, I guess they usually have the final start like next week. So I think we should get the first round of the final next week and then conclusion the week after and reunion.
Just making two fine? Are they? Yeah, you're right. Because there's no like full elimination next week. Yeah. All right. We might have a special guest joining us next week. Brian and I will both be here. But more on that later, potentially, or you'll TBD. Never hear about it again and it won't happen.
We'll pretend it never happened. TBD. You can subscribe robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes or follow me on Twitter at busdriversrob.
And or follow you on Twitter.
And or.
Preferably you can follow me at lashtweets.
And we'll be back. We have Are You the One this week and Challenge next week. So, Are You the One next week? I should say, not this week. We didn't do one this week. Next week and Challenge next week. Look out for those. Until then, have a good one.